My guest is Canadian-born journalist Robert McNeil. Since 1976, he and Jim Lehrer have co-hosted a nightly news program on public television. Each has also found time to pursue other writing projects. Lehrer has written novels and plays. McNeil's fascination with language led him to co-write and narrate the 9-part public television series The Story of English. The series traced the history and evolution of the English language. His new book is a memoir called Wordstruck. McNeil says he intended to write a book about the pleasures of language, but soon realized that the story of his childhood was closely linked to his interest in language. McNeil's previous memoir, The Right Place at the Right Time, was a collection of career stories. McNeil says that he purposely kept his distance when writing that book. I asked him if he was comfortable now with revealing more about his personal life.
A little. It comes out gradually. It's not given to my personality type to be very revealing, I think, about personal stuff, except with close friends. It's why I would have made a bad actor, a fact I was lucky enough to discover, as you probably noticed in the book, quite early in life.
Well, yeah, you talk about how you'd gone to New York just to try to be an actor.
Yeah, right.
And suddenly a voice in your head said, you want to say what that voice said?
Well, it said, you'd make a lousy actor. You know, you're too contained and you're not very demonstrative. I was lucky to have that voice speak to me so sharply, and I believed it. And it said, you know, you're meant to be the cool one behind the scenes, the writer or something, so...
And that's how you became a... You decided you were too stiff to act and that your calling was to write.
Yeah. Well, of course, a lot of people would probably consider that I'm too stiff to be a broadcaster, too, certainly.
Well, you know, as a journalist, you have to really care about accuracy. I think accuracy has a different meaning when you're talking about memory, which is part of what you're dealing in your new book.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point, yeah. The memories in that book are as true as they can be. In other words, they are perfectly accurate emotionally, and I haven't doctored them at all, except to edit and leave some things out, but they are as my heart remembers them, you know, as well as my mind.
You have, as a journalist, worked in Canada, England, and the United States. Mm-hmm. Do you think you've picked up different pronunciations and expressions in each of the countries you've worked in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of them have been conscious. When I find an expression I like, I love playing with it and using it. And, you know, I lived and worked 16 years in Britain in 2 long batches. And I picked up a lot of British idiom. So I surprise and astonish some of my... some of my colleagues on the NewsHour when I use an expression like, well, that'll put the cat among the pigeons, which I think is a wonderfully graphic expression for causing trouble, and a good deal nicer than whatever it is hits the fan in the current American idiom. But I do that all the time. And sometimes I lose my ear for it.
In your memoir, you write that your background and your interests put you well out of the stream of popular culture. You talked like a book.
Yeah. Well, I did. I was a snotty little kid, plummet with a plummy voice. You know, I had sung in a cathedral choir. I fancied myself as an actor doing a lot of Shakespeare when I was in my late teens and early 20s. And where it particularly became obvious to me was when I was hired as an all-night disc jockey in a small commercial radio station, which was, after having been an actor in the radio, my first sort of real job, certainly as an announcer. And I not only didn't know any of the patter and didn't know any of the music, because my interests were really in classical music, but I was very far away from easily using the vernacular that these disc jockeys used. So I didn't know what to say, so I would steal some of their phrases, and I'd try and sound like them when they said, "And now, Les Brown and his band of renown." And it just all sounded kind of really phony coming off my coming out of my lips.
Well, on your first late night show, you used to read poetry in the middle of classical music records.
Yeah, because I didn't know anything about pop music, and around about 2 in the morning, when I hoped everybody had gone to bed, I would, except for a few people, I'd do that, yeah.
In your memoir, you write that as a kid, you didn't listen to the news, you heard it in the background, like the Metropolitan Opera broadcast. What brought news to the foreground?
I don't think it came into the foreground until I became a journalist. I really did not. I was so bound up in the theater and in writing that I paid only the most fleeting attention. No story ever really grabbed me very much. I'm very bound up in my own affairs until I became a journalist. Really, I guess until I went to work on Reuters' desk in London in 1955 when I was in my middle 20s. It was only then I really became interested in news.
Did you ever have to cover up for the fact that early on you weren't a news hound?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sure did. And I had none of the attributes. The attributes of a good news person came to me very gradually, and I acquired some of them very painfully. Like I was extremely reluctant and shy to accost somebody or knock on their door or to phone them up and bother them. And I still am to a degree, but it was just not part of my. I was not in that way aggressive.
Did you become aggressive, more aggressive?
Oh, sure.
Later
well,
on?
you learn professional aggression. I think you can't survive. I mean, I don't mean that I didn't have ambition, and you know, when you're in a certain kind of work, you do what's necessary to do that and do it well, or you get out and do something else. But no, I found I could become more aggressive.
Do you ever get letters from your viewers? Criticizing the way you speak.
Sure. Oh,
because
sure.
You made a grammatical error in a question you asked?
All the time. All the time. I think every broadcaster does. And I have to steel myself because there's something in me that gives me an instant of anger when somebody picks me up on something. And part of it's, oh, damn, did I really do that? Or, are they really right? Am I wrong? You know, I just a little resistance to being criticized, and then I realize that they're probably right. But there, a lot of what I get picked up on are variants of pronunciation or usage, and people are so right when they think they're right. You know that you are absolutely wrong. I can't think of an example now, but our language is very, very personal to us. And there is, in all of us, I think, an ability to feel that it isn't just that word we used which is being criticized, but criticism of even one word in our usage or a phrase really means criticism of something much more, what they're really getting at or implying, or I infer they are implying, they're getting at an attack on one's whole culture, education, background, whatever. And it's hard to isolate and be objective about it and say, well, that person's just being helpful. Of course, most correcting in language is showing off in one way. It's and this is part of my beef with the sort of language, self-appointed language police, which is one of the, whose existence and behavior is one of the reasons I think why people are turned off about language today and don't realize they can find as much pleasure in it as they possibly could, because there's a kind of snobbish school of language critics who operate a kind of put-down industry and make people feel insecure and negative and unsure of themselves.
Since we're talking about language, I'd like to end with a question about your name. Some people call you Robert, some people call you Robin. Which is the name, which is the nickname?
Robert is the given name, mm-hmm. And Robin was my nickname. And when I was a small boy in Canada, Robin was a nickname or a name given to boys, and it hadn't yet become a girl's name.
And how do you decide which one you're going to use and with who?
Well, I just use Robert as my professional name, but anybody who knows me calls me Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very confusing.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us about language and about yourself. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.